Thursday, March 26, 2015. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now today, a complete change of pace. This is an absolute first on this podcast. I'm actually going to be interviewing Richie DeMarco. Now, for those of you who don't know who Richie is not only the vice president of sales for Everarity Hardware, he's also out there full-time selling, just like you guys. So he's a bag-carrying vice president of sales. He's also created an incredible brand for himself. He's known, you ready for this, as the mayor of hardware, kind of like a poet and didn't know it, right? And everyone in his industry knows who he is, which kind of gives him a little bit of a leg up on his competitors. So before we begin, I just want to warn you about something. You definitely need to have a pen and paper handy for this episode. And the reason why is that I kind of lost count at about 15 tips that Richie shares. I mean, all kinds of tips from how you can build a powerful brand, how you can get started, how sales reps can use things like LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus. He even mentioned several websites and resources, all free, by the way. He even talks about, you ready for this? How we can balance all these things with a little something-something called having a life. So if you guys are ready, I think it's time for us to begin the interview. Welcome to the podcast, Richie.
Thanks, Paul. How's it going, man?
It is going awesome, man. It's Friday here in New York, and I think we have another snowstorm coming. So I'm trying to
spring. What would you expect?
I mean, I don't know, man. I'm just trying to think positive thoughts. But just to let everyone know, we're going to be talking today about building a rock star brand. And I think Richie is just an absolute awesome example of someone who has built just an incredible brand out there. And I think I hesitate because I just think it's very important that we address something right out of the gate. Put the cards on the table for everybody. I think right away people – Right when I said branding and stuff, they're like, oh, man, here we go. Another overhyped phrase. I mean, how long have we been hearing personal branding? Is it like all these people hashtagging social selling and before that sales 2.0? And over the weekend, I know on Twitter, like everybody and their mother, I mean, literally there were mothers tweeting the hashtag meerkat, like all over Twitter. So my question to you is, for those people that are listening right now who think it might be a little overhyped, why are you such a fan of personal branding?
Well, the main reason I'm such a fan is I really feel like it's giving me the recognition, and it helps me – the recognition in my industry, and it helps me build my equity. You know, people buy from the mayor of hardware. Just this past week, I received a phone call from a lady out in Seattle, Washington. And, you know, it's somebody that I've networked with online. I've never sold her a product at all. And 4 or 5 minutes into the conversation, you know, she called about a specific type of hardware. She says to me, well, Richie, I know you sell hardware, but what company do you really work for? And, you know, to me that was great because, you know, as a salesperson, what kind of leverage does that give me when I'm negotiating with my boss? You know, it gives you that equity in that brand. You can't get it any other way other than personal branding.
I agree with you. And also, too, I mean, one of the things you and I have joked about a lot is that I would imagine when you call up a place to do business or maybe you're at a networking event and you say your name, there's probably not too many people who say Richie DeMarco who or Mayor of Hardware who, right?
You know, I hate to think like I have a big ego, but yeah, it has gotten to the point where, you know, whenever I speak to somebody, they've either already heard of me, already have read a blog post, or know somebody that is already doing business with me, which is, you know, from my point, I mean, it's great because that really does take that uncomfortable, awkward discussion about price off the table. That very rarely even comes up when I go into a new customer.
That's a great point. And I think many people listening, especially those out there who just hate to negotiate, right? Or maybe you feel that, you know, it's almost impossible for us to negotiate because we are just not the cheapest guy on the block. We're always going to get beaten on price. I mean, when you have a name and a brand and a reputation that precedes you like Richie's does, I think it makes all the difference in the world. But I think it's very important that we do a quick timeout right now because what I'm trying to do right now is address the things that I know people are thinking that, and also encourage everybody to keep listening because, again,
if you're like me, you hear some of these phrases, you're like, here we go again, man. Another person talking about personal branding. Now, I want to address something else. I think a lot of people, when they come across people preaching the whole personal branding thing, I know God knows how many social networking and social media, quote-unquote, experts are there out there. And right away, they're thinking, oh, that's great. Really, Paul has a dude on the show today that sells courses on personal branding probably, and, you know, Paul's probably trying to promote a buddy. I mean, why are you such, you know, a fan of this? And what has it done for you personally? Let's dig down into some more specifics.
Well, it's helped my brand and business explode. You know, I use this whole social, everything that I've learned on social and the way that I've promoted my brand, I really do try to help my customers understand what I'm doing and get them to do it themselves. So that is one of those, you know, value adds as in air quotes, as the typical salesman is supposed to give back. But it is something that I do that my competitors don't. You know, I show up on a B2C site specifically for my niche, and you know, I'll receive 4 or 5 calls a month where it's, you know, consumers looking for people to do work in their houses. I'll qualify the lead, I'll get the information, and I'll actually farm it out to my customers. And you know, that if that doesn't build loyalty, I don't know what does. You know, not one of my competitors are doing anything like that.
So, I mean, there's a few things going on here that I think we just have to pause and just recognize, and people should be writing this into their playbook because there's a lot of things going on. I mean, number one, we were kidding around before. There's all these overhyped things, and it's sales especially, man. We have all these damn phrases and stuff, and, you know, people do business with people they know, like, and trust, right? I mean, how many times do you hear that? But like, okay, great, genius, tell me how to do that. Because that's the conversation I want to have, not another regurgitation of something I was sick of hearing 5 years ago. And then we have the people say, I deliver value. Hey, great genius. How in the hell do you do that? I mean, do we have this like epiphany and it's like, hey, value, but what you're talking about here are some real specific things. Now, I would imagine you educating people on how to use social media within your industry costs you millions of dollars to do. Right, it costs you all kinds of money to
oh,
give.
Oh yeah, my marketing budget, Paul, is easily 6 figures.
I was very impressed there for a minute.
it nothing other than my time, which, you know, is some sweat equity, and you know, I have set up some on demand things that I could, or even little reports that I send to my customers that when they're starting something new, and say, you know, a checklist or whatever that they can go through when setting up either their accounts or just to get them acquainted with whatever platform it is they're looking at.
And it's awesome, because the other thing at play here is that you're establishing your expertise, which I think is very, very important. It also plays into a lack of negotiation when it comes time to talk money, because they know that they're getting a heck of a lot more than just the widget and just somebody there saying they deliver value who has no clue of what that means. So I think that's pretty cool. Now, the other thing, I mean, I think that we have to, and then we're going to get really into specific. I'm trying to get all the, like, I'm calling out like every elephant in the room that I can think of before we get down to business here. You're referred to as the mayor of hardware. Now, is that because you were a poet and didn't know it and you just wanted to be the mayor of hardware? You get it, Richie? No, I mean, seriously, like, well, like, how did that come about? I know there's a story here, so tell us.
Yeah, so back in 2011, so about, you know, 4 years ago, I was at our annual trade show, and one of my customers, you know, before the keynote session had started, one of my customers was speaking to the keynote speaker, and he referred to me as the mayor of hardware. So like any good presenter does, during his presentation, he was trying to connect with the crowd. So he took a minute to stop down, and, you know, the room was packed. There was, you know, 500-600 people in there. And he says, okay, so does anybody in here know the mayor of hardware? And more than half of the people stuck their arm up to raise their hand. And he looked at me, and I really don't know who was more shocked, me or him. And he ran all the way to the back of the room and asked somebody in the back. He says, so who's the mayor of hardware? And the guy says, everybody knows it's Richie DeMarco. And that was really it. I mean, that whole week, I was the mayor. And, you know, even to the point I was going home in the airport, walking through the airport, and people were yelling, there goes the mayor. I mean, it was crazy. So when I got, you know, all I could think about when I got on that plane ride was, you know, I need to keep this excitement going. How can I keep this excitement going? And I wasn't on any platforms at that time. I think I might have just started my LinkedIn profile. But I dove in and I really embraced social media at that point and thought, you know, I need to own this title and really keep it going. And that's what I focused on.
Yeah, I think that's great. And what I want to do is I want to pause for a second, and I want to encourage anyone listening to this right now. Hopefully you're taking notes already. But right about now, you really need to start taking them at a higher level, because one of the things I want to point out, I think any time we're ever given a nickname when we're branding, or when we become synonymous with something, especially synonymous with something favorable, right? the reputation precedes us, as I had mentioned before. So what I want everybody to do is just stop for a minute, maybe pause this. And at first, I mean, might want to pull the car over. I don't want to get, like, sued. And if I get sued, I'm going to sue Richie because he contributed to this. So I get some money here. But anyway, it's your fault, Richie, right? I mean, if people can sue people for, like, burning their hands on, like, a hot cup of coffee at McDonald's, I guess we can sue for this. But what I want to invite everybody to do, pull the car over, and I want you to think about, what do you want to be known for? What do you want to be synonymous with? What is – we've heard this expression in the past. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's your main thing? What is it that you want to be known for and synonymous with? And it's very, very important. It's almost like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I think that's a very, very important first step here. And what Richie decided right here, he made a decision. He realized he wanted to run with something that he was nicknamed in that moment. And then in that moment, it sounds like really the brand was born. And then you had to go and you had to run with it. So, but here's what I want to talk about very, very quickly. And I think it's very important that everybody knows this. So you are not only the vice president of sales, you are a bag carrying vice president of sales who's responsible for a considerable amount of the company's business. On top of that, I happen to know you personally. So I know that you are, like, to say you're a devoted family guy is an understatement. So I bet there's others with that kind of, like, workload and that kind of a, like, full plate. How the hell do you find the time to do this? Because I think that's great. I mean, how do you find the time to do this?
Oh, a lot of coffee, Paul.
I know that.
Seriously, I start my day early. I've sort of developed a system, you know, living in the Northeast, in New York, you know, traffic is brutal, right? So I try to get out of the house most days before 6 a.m. to avoid the morning rush. I try to get back to the house by 4 p.m., again, to avoid that afternoon rush. And this way I can, you know, follow up on all my emails, and I'm not wasting time sitting in traffic. I do have a really good office staff. I have a couple solid guys that can handle some of the day-to-day stuff. And all of my social media is done after hours. You know, I'm like you said, I'm a big family guy. So when it comes to the kids, every night, you know, around 5:30, 6 o'clock, I try to take a break for a couple hours. We eat dinner together. I'll help with homework, give baths, whatever we have to do. You know, my oldest is only 8, so there's a lot going on here. I have 3 kids. And once they go to bed, which usually is around 8, 8:30, then that's it. It's time to start the second job. And I'll sit in front of the computer for, you know, an hour or two or whatever it is and really focus on me.
So, well, let me ask you a question here, if you don't mind me putting you on the spot. Is
sure.
That, I mean, first of all, I think that's an awesome plan, and we have a lot of things going on here that I want to flag. I mean, obviously, you've made some decisions, and I think the problem is with a lot of people is that we wear the busyness on our sleeve, and I know that we're busy, but it then becomes the crutch, right? It's like, well, I'm too busy to do that. What you've basically done is you said, well, how can I find the time and where can I find the time? And we have some good balance in there. But here's the thing. Now, I know that you're doing this stuff after hours, but I see you showing up during hours. So I know that you're off making, you know, selling deals and conquering the world, but I see you on Twitter, man. I'm not calling you out. I'm not calling you, you know, I'm not thinking that you're BSing me, but how do you do that?
Well, one great tool is BufferApp.com, and I don't work for Buffer. I don't get anything for Buffer, but you can go up there and schedule a bunch of tweets or posts, LinkedIn, Facebook. You just connect it. It's really intuitive. It'll take you a couple minutes. I actually have the free version. There is a paid version. I'm still using the free one. And that allows you to keep appearances up throughout the day, when you're on vacation, you know, when you're at a conference. And I do have to admit that I will still check in a couple times a day, you know, for a few minutes. You can do it from your phone now. I mean, it's not that big of a deal, 10 o'clock to check in for 10 minutes or 12 o'clock during lunch. But that's one way that I can show up online all day long.
Yeah, it's funny because there are some people who criticize that approach. And I know you have to be familiar with it too. And by the way, I take the same approach as you. I cannot be everywhere at once, but I can give the illusion of being everywhere at once.
Right.
And just like you, I'm a really big advocate on responding to people. So somebody's taking the time to retweet something, or somebody's taking the time to say, hey, great blog post or whatever it is. I don't want to go walking around like I'm some kind of, you know, famous dude, right, with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and I'm too big to go and respond to it. So I'm like you when it comes to that. But I guess what a lot of people out there, and especially a lot of the social selling people and a lot of the quote-unquote gurus are saying, yeah, but then you're a bot, and you're just you're doing that. There's nothing social about that. I mean, do you agree with that?
Well, if I had a team, Paul, working behind me like some of these guys do, maybe I would feel different. But you know, listen, first I have to pay my mortgage, you know, so selling and seeing my clients is priority one. And I feel like as long as I am responding to those messages in a timely manner, I don't see anything wrong with it. I know exactly what you're saying. There are people that say the whole automation thing, it's tough to scale. It really is tough to scale. And I think that this system works, and I think people understand it. And as long as you're responding in a timely manner and are in the moment a handful of times, you know, whether it's tweeting or on LinkedIn or Facebook, I think that's fine.
I happen to agree with you. And in the spirit of don't get me started,
right,
just turning this into like another 15 minutes of a Castain rant, it's many of the same people who are very outspoken on that, well, you're being a bot thing, that don't respond to people. So to me, I think I would rather be accused of being a bot that responds than a douchebag that just puts stuff out there and doesn't, like, he's too big or she's too big and too cool in their internet fame, which means dick, by the way. Right? I mean, I don't know about you. You go to pay your mortgage and say, I'm a little short this month, but you know what? I've been retweeted just like a whole buttload of time. Like, I mean, get out of here. Like, especially in New York, right?
Yeah.
We're brutal with people like that. But anyway, enough. I got to, like, cut myself off on that rant before it gets out of hand. So I want to get into specifics. Again, I want to encourage everyone, if you don't have a pad and a pen out, and I know Richie's laughing there because I said douchebag. So, I mean, come on. It's like, come on, Richie. What are we, in sixth grade here? But anyway, yes, that was that might have been the first, by the way, first time on this podcast. So, Richie, not only are you the first guest, but you were there when I said douchebag for the first time. So
but
I wonder
then
who
I should bring out the best in you, Paul.
You can, man. And it's like, I wonder who will be the guest when, like, we cross new, like, into new territory, and I say the S curse. I'm just wondering who's going to be there. I'm hoping it's like Gary Vayner. Well, actually, he'll beat me to it if I have Gary Vaynerchuk.
That's right.
Oh my God. But anyway, let's get into some specifics. If you guys don't have the pad and pen out, man, I'm telling you, you're going to miss a lot, because in these next two questions, you're going to probably have, I don't know, like about 12 to 15 tips that I'm going to put the mayor on the spot for and have them share with us. So first and foremost, in terms of getting started, all right, I'm hoping by now some people are like, yeah, I'm kind of with you and Castain on this, and I want to get started. I don't know how to get started. So what are 2 to 3 tips that we can offer them to get these people going on personal branding or social media, whatever you want?
Okay, well, the first thing, and this might be a little cliche, but the first thing is to start out is you need to know who your perfect client is, you know, be real specific. Figure out what that niche, what that perfect client is, and then you'll figure out where they're hanging out, whether it's a LinkedIn group, a Facebook group, forums online, and that's where you need to show up. And not only show up, but offer, you know, create content specific to their needs, give them information, resources, really focus on being the go-to guy for that niche or in that industry. And that's how I did it. You know, I wanted people to call me for everything, and they do from, you know, problems with their employees to machinery that they need. And I am in no way an expert in either of those categories, but they just bounce things off of me because I speak to so many people within my niche. And then you really need to figure out where you want to publish this content that you're creating. I know creating a blog might sound overwhelming, but in my opinion, that is the best way to, you know, you want a home base and that's the best thing to do. If that seems like it's going to be too much in the beginning, you know, you could try creating it on, you know, doing it on Facebook or LinkedIn. The only thing when you do that is you don't own the traffic, right? So if Facebook or LinkedIn blew up tomorrow, anything that you created there is gone. That's why, in my opinion, having a blog or a domain where you could send people is your best bet.
I agree. So no, I think those are some fantastic tips, and I think in many cases, right, we overcomplicate things and we just keep putting things off. I mean, that was me, my business for years. It's like I'm making it into this big grand action, right? And it's just sometimes you just gotta you have some basics and you just gotta start. But the only other thing that I just want to add or really follow up on with you is there might be people right now that are saying, you know what, I know I should be doing a blog or creating content, whether it be on a blog or sharing it on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn, it doesn't matter. But you know what, though? Either I'm scared or I can't write or whatever it is. If you can't create content, what are the options for people?
Oh, the easy.
Well, did you almost say the S word?
No, I almost did.
No, man, that is. Don't you dare! Don't you dare! You better mind your manners, mister.
The you have a 5 second delay here of beeping. No,
man.
No. the easy thing is just curate content, right? So for me, and you guys can write this down. I use Feedly. And that's a great place to go and get a bunch of blogs or, you know, it's a great way to have a news feed of all these different, from all these different resources. And you could, so this way they don't clog up your email. You have them all on this website, Feedly. Again, it's another free platform. And you could scan that once a day or every other day and try and find articles or information you think your niche would be interested in or important to them. And then you can start off slow and post those, you know, post these resources. And that too will at least get you started in the right direction.
I think that's a great tip because I think anytime we could do almost like a set it and forget it thing, mm-hmm. where it's just like, it comes to us. So like every day you don't have to get up and now, okay, now I have to search out stories.
Right.
It just comes to you, and then you just pick and choose. So I think that's fantastic. But I think the key takeaway here is that I think it's very, very important that we continue to show up like you do, and we continue to reinforce whatever that main thing is that we have out there. In your case, it's the Mayor of Hardware. And we can reinforce that and just keep presenting you know, that image through either creating things or curating other content. But I think here's the bottom line. Anytime you position yourself alongside of either thought leadership that you are responsible for or from the industry or things that are resources to your audience, it has the same effect. It's the same outcome. And that's you are now an expert because you just keep showing up every day with things that are very, very useful. And by the way, it goes back to that value thing. You become very, very valuable to people. So I think that's very, very important. And those are some great tips. Now we are going to get really into specifics. What I want to do, Richie, is I want to talk about the big four platforms. And for those of you who don't know, the big four social networking platforms are LinkedIn, Twitter, Google Plus, and Facebook, although I think probably there's a lot of people that would argue Google Plus. I don't know. But anyway, let's pretend it is, though, at least with this discussion. Because, you know, Big Four sounds better than Big Three. And I wanted them to have 12 tips instead of 9 tips. So what I want you to do is we're going to go through each one in whatever order you want. And I want you to give our listeners 2 to 3 tips on how they can, you know, maybe, you know, create a name or just things that would be very helpful within those platforms. Let me turn it over to you and, you know, you go with it.
Okay, cool. All right. First, let's talk about LinkedIn. And this probably goes for all the platforms, but complete your profile. I don't think it's more important than on LinkedIn. I always love it when you go to somebody's profile and it says director of marketing, and there's no headshot and it just says a title. You know that. So yeah, complete your profile. Write to do number one. Second is a professional and somewhat current headshot. And again, that might be like duh, but you know it's really awkward when you meet somebody at a trade show and they look like they've aged 20 years. You know.
Right.
or the other side of that is that, you know, I think it's great that you have a boat, but that shirtless shot you fishing off the side is another, to me, I think it's comical. I really do. You know, take a decent headshot. Instead of in LinkedIn, it gives you, has your summary. And for me, I always like to, instead of giving a summary, I sort of tell my story, how I came to be, and I do litter it with some key words, but I think a story or giving your story is a lot better than your summary.
And it reads better. That's awesome.
Yeah. I also linked it to my podcast. There's a podcast in there that you could click on. I have some videos up there. I try to make it a cool place for anybody that goes to, you know, find out more about me, and they can go and they could see and kind of hang out with me and get a feel for who I am, what I do. Of course, there are some recommendations up there from my clients, but you know, just giving them a few things to look at is, in my opinion, what makes a good profile.
You know, Richie, let's stop there for one second because that it was just lots of great tips there. And I think it's really important that we all acknowledge something, right? If we're all hanging out together, we could all do a group amen on this one. But really what Richie is doing there is helping the buyer buy from him because they are buying very differently today. And there's a lot of people out there that say, yeah, but sales is sales is sales and everything else. And in some way, yes, I'm sure the basic components of sales is probably the same way it was back, you know, with caveman wanting to, you know, get somebody's fish and, you know, giving them a piece of meat for it. Or I don't know. I don't even know what the proper trade protocol was back then. I wasn't around. I feel like I was around, but I wasn't. But here's the deal. I mean, I think what we want to do is we have to acknowledge that people are buying very, very differently. So what's going to happen is that they want to check us out anonymously and safely and without a sales pitch from afar. So if they go and they click on that first example that Richie said, there's no picture, there is really no description or nothing there, they leave with a whole lot of nothing. And I feel that that is actually more dangerous than having something that maybe, like, you know, like that we're afraid that is not as well written as we'd like it to be. But, you know, at least somebody has something on you. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know of too many people that are going to turn around and say, well, I was going to buy from Paul or Richie, but you know what? I just wish he were a better writer of profiles. You know, screw him. I mean, like, you know, he's an idiot. I'm not going to buy from the mayor because I don't like his word choice here. Or, you know, dude, like, learn some grammar, Castain. Right? I mean, I just, and if they did, I don't know about you. I don't want them as a client. It's like, you know, it's like, it's why I work for myself. I don't want to deal with people like that. I was like, you know, we will fire those people. But all right. So anyway, I interrupted. Please continue.
No. So, Twitter. Mm-hmm. So for me, I really wish in the beginning I knew more about Twitter than just diving into it. But if you're just getting started, or if you have not that much, you know, if you haven't got a huge list of followers yet, my advice there is really to be organized and set up lists. Had I done this from the beginning, it would have made life so much easier. But now that I've had, you know, this huge follower list, not huge, nowhere near your numbers, Paul, but I've got a reasonable follower list, and, you know, everything gets lost in your newsfeed. So now to go in and add people to lists and sort through them, it takes a ton of time, ton of time. So definitely set up your lists and be more organized in the beginning. I use Hootsuite, which is, again, another free website, hootsuite.com, and I save searches. I have saved searches in there, which are, you know, hot topics in my industry or keywords in my industry. I also have my name and my company saved so that I can easily check out Hootsuite and just scan those searches, and whether I'm following these people or not, it shows up in that feed. And if there is any conversation that I feel like I need to jump into or anything I can get involved with, I do, which is a great way to use Twitter. And then, of course, I always make sure that I respond to retweets and comments and thank people for following me. I'm always courteous. That's huge for Twitter. You have to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, before we go on with it, I mean, I think it's very important with all of these that we remember when it comes to social networking, what's the first word? It's social.
Right.
And I think you can score just so many points in doing that. I mean, so many people listening right now might say, well, you know what? I'm not brilliant at this stuff, and I don't know how well I'm going to do this. And he was mentioning profile, and maybe I'm not so good at writing it. But hopefully we're all good at being human. And I will tell you, just doing that alone goes such a long way. I mean, Richie, you encounter it all the time. I'm sure people just don't respond.
That's right. That's right. Or once you follow them, you get the automatic DM that says, you know, hey, do you want to buy my product? That's
right.
An automatic unfollow. I can't stand that.
I love it when you get those. And I love it when, like you get one of these things. Hey, it's a great day today. Thanks for your follow. Download my report.
Right, right.
It's like, you dick.
It's like, come on, man.
What the heck is up with it? It's a tad phony, right? So what else you have for us, Richie?
Okay, Facebook. So one big mistake I see a lot of people, at least in my industry, is they have their personal page set up as a business page. And that's a huge mistake on so many levels. You know, you can't create custom tabs. If you are a brick and mortar, nobody could check into your location. And the number one thing is you can't receive any likes. So not, you know, having your Facebook set up the wrong way, you know, you have to have it set up as a business page. And the other thing is I always focus on, of course, educating and entertaining and showing up regularly. That Facebook is real simple. So many people have Facebook now. We all use it to look at, you know, whether you're looking at your grandchildren or keeping up with your friends. It's really easy to incorporate into your mix. You really need to create that page and get going with it.
Well, I mean, a few things about Facebook. I mean, the first thing is that you're getting into, like, cliches and stuff again, going over to sales. I mean, for years everybody's saying the cold call is dead. I mean, I think they were saying that, like, the minute, like, the internet was invented, the cold call is dead. It's like, I'm sitting here, and it's like, would you die already, man? It's like, I mean, if it's dead, die. I mean, come on, man. You're fading here. But, I mean, with Facebook, a lot, and I don't hear it as much anymore, but a lot of people were feeling, well, it's dead now, and everybody's running over to Instagram and Snapchat and all these other things. I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm still seeing a considerable amount of traffic in Facebook, and just a lot of engagement, whether it be on my personal page or on the business page. I mean, are you noticing anything?
Well, if you look at the numbers, they all say that, you know, the younger demos, you know, that 20-year-old demo is leaving Facebook because their parents and their grandparents are there, and it's not real cool to have grandma like your photo. I totally get that. And if you're selling, you know, skateboards, then maybe Facebook isn't the place for you to be hanging out. Maybe it is Instagram or Snapchat. But for me or for my, if you're selling that, you know, 35 to 55-year-old business owner or consumer, they are certainly still on Facebook. They're still hanging out there. It takes them a while to change. And, you know, I think it's what, 400 million? I mean, 400 million or something like that? The numbers are ridiculous. So your clients are certainly still on Facebook. There's no question about it.
Now I'll settle for 10% of that.
Exactly.
So now, well, let's just address something else on Facebook. And this is, again, one of those other elephants in the room. And I think I know a lot of people know how I feel about this, but let's take a few scenarios. I mean, you have either a prospect or a client who wants to connect with Richie or the mayor or whatever, right? I mean, what's your take on that? Should we connect with prospects and clients on something that a lot of people feel is a personal platform?
I think you should. I do. I connect with as many of my clients as I can, prospects. I feel like it takes that relationship to the next level. But almost like when I'm at the trade show and we're hanging out drinking at the bar and you kind of get into business casual or more, you know, less about business and more about personal issues. Facebook is sort of the same way. I can click in and see that they're on vacation or even something silly like, you know, when their birthday is. So you could, you know, whether I'm going in to see them or call them up, like, hey, happy birthday. You know, little reach outs like that, it just takes your relationship to a whole new level, especially if you're selling on a national basis. You can't be everywhere all the time. And this really helps move it along.
Yeah, I agree, because what we also have to remember is that certain platforms have certain protocols, and there's things that we can do on Facebook we can't do on LinkedIn. Like, it's going to be totally inappropriate if I share pictures of my kids on LinkedIn, right? It's just, it's like what is he doing? You know what I mean? It's just not going to fit in. And if I go overly business on my personal page, not my business page, my personal page, people are going to be like, come on, man. I'm here to hang out. And you're that guy now at the bar that's coming over trying to sell me insurance.
Right. It's a great way to put it. And another thing is, you know, now the one warning when you're doing, even though it is your personal page, I know for me, Paul, and I believe for you as well, I still stay away from those hot topics. You know, I'm not discussing politics. I'm not discussing religion. It's, even though it is my personal page, I don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers or put anything out there that comes off negative.
I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think what we're going to see, especially now here in the States, coming up on the election season again, right?
Mm-hmm.
The year
and
a half,
brutal,
or whatever.
Isn't it?
It's not only is it brutal, but you're going to see a lot of people getting really nasty with each
mm-hmm.
other over
mm-hmm.
over politics. I mean, mm-hmm. come on already. And they're going to unfriend, and they're going to, you know, we're going to be joking around about me saying douchebag before. That's going to be very mild compared to the line. There's going to be a lot of F-bombs. I can tell you that. You know, judging on the last election, and seeing, you know, what the players might possibly be, there's a lot of people with opinions. And I stay away from it. There's some people who feel that, but yeah, but it helps you get to know your client on a deeper level. It could, but I just think that you're asking for trouble. So yeah, I'm with you on that. And, but I mean, I do think it's very, very important that we connect there. The final thing that I just want to say about Facebook, and then I'm going to turn it back over to you, is, I think there's a lot of people that feel, yeah, but it's personal, and, you know, I don't want them knowing all my business. Well, first of all, my response to that is, I why the hell are you sharing something that you would not want anybody to see? I mean, if it's something so personal, you should be sharing that on a phone call or face-to-face or whatever it is, because anything on the internet, screw the privacy settings, is just asinine to do that. The other thing is, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that most of the people, even though I am a tad immature for a guy who's going to be 50, have some degree of maturity, certainly more than I have. That is a minimal hope for this group that I have. And, I mean, like, what in the hell are you doing as a grown man or woman posting dumb stuff like that could come back and bite you in the ass? So, but even having said that, even if you do want to post dumb stuff, probably should think privacy settings.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, I'm sure, you know, I feel like once you put it up there or out there, you never know. Anything can be, you know, it can be found. So if you really think that you're concerned about who's going to see what you're posting, like you said, Paul, the best thing is don't post that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, email your friends if you have to show them that picture.
Even then, I might not, because I might want to run for president in this next election. I don't know. I don't know yet. I got to get rid of some skeletons in the closet first. You know what I mean? So it might come out like I've been married, like, you know, like to all these women at the same time, which is understandable with these good looks that I have. But anyway, Richie, I digress. Please continue.
Okay, Google Plus. So I use Google Plus very similar to the way I use Facebook. I do cross post there because I feel like it is sort of the same crowd or same, you know, same audience. Except the one reason I love Google Plus is the Google Hangouts. It's, you know, it's a great way that you can do an interview, you could demo a product, and if you have your Google Hangouts set up properly, it'll then load to your YouTube channel. So now you have a recording of your Google Plus Hangout. It's on your YouTube channel. You know how much traction YouTube has. You know, you could embed your URL in there. It's a great way to drive traffic back to your website. And then if you're getting really slick, now you could download that YouTube video into your computer and then upload little snippets or the whole thing back to your business Facebook page and multi-purpose that content over and over on three different channels. And again, it really is a great way to drive traffic back to your site.
I love that, and it also speaks to what we said before is, well, how do I create content if I don't know how? Well, right there, you have an opportunity to do something and get, you want to talk about a twofer, right? At least two benefits for the price of one action. You
mm-hmm.
can multi-purpose the hell out of that. So, I mean, I think that's awesome, Richie.
And these aren't, you know, and Paul, whenever I do a video, and now whenever we speak about video, I know when I get into it, my clients, well, what about the backdrop, the this, the that? You know, just do it. You know, just set up a podcast or set up a podcast, I'm sorry, set up a tripod. set up a tripod and film it, and away you go. And You know, as long as the sound is okay and the video is halfway decent with decent lighting, it's fine. You know, just do it.
I mean, I have to say that, and one of the things I advise my clients on is to do exactly what you just said. And I'm going to tell you why. I think that when people do these really polished, like, quote-unquote corporate type of videos, well, let's back up and say it again. It's a really polished corporate type of video. And I think that a lot of people have learned to distrust those. Mm-hmm. And there's just something genuine and really authentic about just the rawness of an iPhone. You know what I mean? Where you're just, right, like, filming it. And to me, it's like, I don't know. I mean, this is probably, like, the dumbest thing I'm going to ever say. But the good news about me is that I will say something dumber in a week from now and outdo the dumbness of the statement. But it's like, to me, it's like the rawness of, like, a garage band in a cool way. Like, a decent garage band. Not, like, a crappy one that you're like, oh, man. Like, you know, like, good thing you go to college, man.
Right.
But, I mean, like, seriously, it just has that. And I just think, and we've seen, you and I both, we've seen Gary Vaynerchuk do this. We've seen, mm-hmm, a lot of the other people where it's just, like, they've done it, like, in a cab.
I was just going to say in a cab. I was just going to say in a cab.
You weren't going to just say that.
I was.
Kiss ass. Well, anyway, well, I do have another question. I have several questions because,
okay,
that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just, you know, hopefully you guys think I'm doing a decent job interviewing Richie. It is my first shot at this. So I'm kind of digging it, man. This is a lot of fun hanging out with Richie like this. But anyway, a lot of gurus out there that are telling us we got to hustle. In fact, I mean, again, it's like these phrases and all these cliches. They're beating us to death with this. Like, I'll see people over the weekend. You know, you hustling today. That's the weekend, dick. You know what I mean? It's like, what's up with that? Or like, I mean, I'm seeing salespeople more. Like, I've seen this in the last year. It's like, we are celebrating our busyness. Like, here's my red page of – red page. Like, this is why I don't drink. Red badge of courage. Here I am. I'm busy. I mean, do you think this is getting, like, a little out of hand? And, like, what is the message? Do we have to do that?
You know, it is so over the top, and I really think there is some BS there. You know, I mean, we all try to go 100 miles an hour and do it and show up, but you know, they have, like I said, they have teams. I mean, if you look at some of these people, they have. They might be creating content, but they have somebody recording them to go back and create the blog post, edit the video. If you're a one-man band or you're a salesperson trying to create your own personal brand and doing this in the evening, you know, showing up 24/7, in my opinion, is just way too much. Don't get me wrong. I do put in a good amount of time during the work week, but I've really, you know, made sure that I do sleep a good 6 hours. And on the weekends, at least on Sunday specifically, I really do try to totally shut off and just hang out with the kids and the family and do my family thing.
So I think on that note, what I want to do is I want to shift gears here a little bit. And having known you personally and having worked together for a few years now, I mean, I'm obviously going to know things about you. And I asked for your permission to share this. But you were running very, very fast for a while. And you had a bit of a wake-up call, a little bit of a tap on the shoulder that happened to you. I was trying to figure that out. It must have been about a year ago, I thought it was, somewhere around there.
Yeah, it was Valentine's Day night.
Tell us what happened.
So I just had this crazy headache, and at first I thought it was a joke, and we went to the doctor, and the doctor said, okay, do you want to drive to the hospital or do you want an ambulance? And I couldn't believe it. They thought I was having a brain aneurysm. So I went, you know, I went to the ER, and while I was sitting there, they were running all these tests on me, and I, you know, at one point, it really didn't look good. I really was concerned about what was going on, and I was actually writing down a list of all my passwords, telling my wife what to do, you know, just, it was just really, really scary to the point where, you know, took out my cell phone and started creating a video for my children. It was that intense.
So I have a question for you, and it might be a difficult thing. And I want to preface this for everybody listening that there are things in life that we really don't want to think about and we don't want to talk about. And I think one of them is the end of life and the end of our time and the end of our work. What goes through your head when you're staring something in the face that could mean the end for you? What were you thinking about as a father, as a person? You know, what was going through your head?
The first thing that went through my head is I was so mad because, you know, you sit there and you're like, wow, I'm killing myself to be successful and do all these things, and look where I am. I couldn't believe it. So I was angry, more than anything else initially. Then that led to just, you know, scared, and it's those things that you don't really worry about. So we all worry about, you know, a lot of people are worriers, but who ever worries about having a brain aneurysm, you know? So it really is those things that just sneak up on you, and it really put into perspective that hardware and everything that I do is nonsense without health. So that, you know, health is the number one thing above and beyond everything else.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think people, I mean, we all have things that represent our crossroads, right? We have that, or that tap on the shoulder, or whatever metaphor you want to use. And sometimes we get scared for the minute, and then it's right back to business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Did you make any changes as a result of this little tap on the shoulder?
Yes. Instead of drinking coffee, now I drink a lot of wine.
I love it.
No, I started, the doctors basically said it was all stress related. That's what they said. So what I tried to do was relieve some of the stress, and I began meditating. Spent a lot of time doing at first guided meditation for, you know, 15 or 20 minutes a night. Then it turned more into a thinking time, and started writing in a journal. So now I do that probably a couple of times a week. I could probably do it more, but that certainly alleviated a lot of the stress. I also started taking martial arts. It's something that, you know, before I really didn't even have a hobby. You know, my hobby was my job. That was all I did, was work. So now I, you know, a few nights a week I go punch and kick things. It's awesome. I love it.
Legally.
Legally, right. It's awesome. And the great thing is my son, who is 7, he does it as well. And one night a week we have a family class. And I'll tell you, to see the look on his face when they make me do push-ups with him on my back or squats while I'm holding him. It's like he's drunk. He's thrilled that we're doing it together. It's so much fun for me. It really, you know, on top of getting in shape, that is one of the highlights of my week.
Yeah, I mean, I remember because we're friends on Facebook. It was so funny because you remember over the summer everybody's doing that ice bucket challenge.
Yes.
And you did yours and you have your shirt off, and then somebody writes, Mayor of Hardware, more like Mayor of Ripped. And I was thinking, man, way to go, Richie. I was thinking about like photoshopping like my head on your body going forward.
Well, there you go, right? I try.
We get more female listeners going on here or whatever. But, you know, there was an incident over this, and I call it the incident. It's like Lost, the incident, right? There was this incident that happened last summer, and I want to tell everybody what happened. Again, Richie and I work together, and every 2 weeks we get on a coaching call. So, I just was a scatterbrain for whatever reason, and, you know, Richie and I are always busy, so we're rescheduling days and stuff, and I forgot to update the calendar invite. So, the calendar invite goes off. And Richie will tell you, I am a one prop son of a bitch, man. Like, if it's like a 4 o'clock appointment, as 4 o'clock hits, man, I am calling him. To the point that if I don't, he's like, what's wrong with Paul?
Right.
Right? So, exactly. So there I am, right? So I call him up. All of a sudden I hear, thank you for calling Everetti Hardware. Jason speaking. I'm making up a name. And like, I'm like, and I hung up. I'm like, who the hell is this? And then I'm thinking, hey, did he get fired or something? Like, what's going on? So I call back at Everetti Hardware, Jason speaking. And, like, I was like, hey, can I almost said the mayor, you know what I mean? I was like, hey, can I speak with Richie? Oh, no, he's on vacation. And I'm like, man, that's really cool. So what – you went off on vacation. I just want to make sure that I understand this. Like, because this is really ballsy what we're talking about here. You had the balls to go away on vacation and have your calls forwarded to some, how dare you, Richie? Like tell us about it. What are you thinking?
Well, yeah, and there was a time where I would never do such a thing. But I did, leading up to the vacation, I did prompt or at least let all of my major clients know that I was going to be away for a week. And as I told them, I said, hey, listen, I'm going away for a week, and if you can't handle it, then I'm raising your prices. And I said it just like that, and you know, I got a laugh out of them. But I really did believe that, listen, if you can't run your company for a week without me, then really we do need to discuss raising your prices, because, you know, I mean, come on, it's a week, we're all entitled to a vacation. So, and the other thing is my guys in the office, I really think it lifted them up a little bit to the point where now, you know, it's put them in a good place. I gave them a little bit more responsibility. It feels good for them. It was great for me to go away, and I'm planning on doing it again, you know, this year. And it was nice to have a whole week off and just not have to stress out about the phone. The first day, I will admit, I was twitching a little bit, and I wanted to go run to my email. But I had everything set up, autoresponders, and I think we're all entitled to a week off. And if, like I said, if your clients can't handle that, then really it's it's time to raise their prices.
That's right, or at least rethink that relationship.
100%, yeah.
I mean, and I know you did the same thing or a similar thing during the holidays this year, between Christmas and New Year's, I think it was. I mean, was there any, like, major fallout or anything? Or people like, how dare you? Like, I mean, like, you know, screw you. I don't want you selling me hardware anymore.
Not a one. And the good thing is, with my industry, that is, like, 1 week because I'm in, like, the remodeling sector. You know, through that week between Christmas and New Year's, a lot of people use that as a vacation week. Mm-hmm. So that is one. That week is sort of accepted, you know. Everybody kind of understands if you're closed. And again, I did. I set everything up, and I warned. You know, I called my major customer and said, hey, we're going to be closed for a week. Get in your orders early. Let's get them to you now if you're going to be open. And we just worked through it. And I didn't lose one stitch of business. Nobody had a problem with it. And when I got to the other side, I just, you know, I was refreshed. They were refreshed. And it was good for everybody.
Well, I mean, I really have to applaud you, because I think you took something that was – I can't even think of the words. It was beyond dramatic. It was life-threatening. And that tap on the shoulder, and you chose to take action from it. And what I want to invite everybody to do who's listening to this is that don't wait until you're at a situation like where Richie was, where he's thinking he's having a brain aneurysm. I know that I've spoken to people. They were like, yeah, after my second heart attack. Let's not let it get to that point. Let's just, you know, realize that we're in control of this. And, you know, what I often think about, I mean, you know, my first mentor was my dad. And he came up in the days, not to make me and, you know, my dad who passed away sound really ancient. I mean, he came up, there weren't cell phones and there wasn't email. And he worked for General Mills, which back then I think was a $50 million company with a major sales force. And they got by. They did pretty damn good. He supported a family of, you know, there was a total of six kids and the two of them, eight of us.
Wow.
So he did all right. So sometimes we have to rethink it. But I really want to ask you something, and there's an observation that I've made when it comes to you. And every time I speak with you, and again, 4 years, I've had the opportunity to speak with you every 2 weeks, and we interact online, we've met each other for lunch out here in New York and stuff. I mean, every time I see you, you seem incredibly happy, you seem at peace with your life and just content. And yet I know that you're human and you have a lot of things going on. And it's, I'm wondering, the people that are listening to this, they're probably like, yeah, man, thanks, Paul. Finally, you're getting home with me. I have a lot of things going on. So I guess what I want to ask you is, how the hell do you put on such a good game face and wear it so well when you have so many things going on? You have the ups and downs of sales, so on and so forth.
It's all that wine.
I think that'll do it. Done. Wine.
No. You know, I really. It's showtime. When I, you know, I approach my social media the same way I do my sales calls. It's my job to be funny, entertaining, to listen to my customers' problems, not vice versa. You know, and I'm sure a lot of us have those clients where you go and you know there's always a problem and you know they always have an issue, and I don't want to be known as that guy. So even if I'm having a terrible day, no matter what's going on, I'll try to block it out. And if that means, you know, listening to a song that I know that'll get me in a good mood, or taking a look, you know, stopping for 2 minutes and looking at the photo and, you know, in my car or my family. Or even if it means just, you know, screaming like a lunatic in my car before I get out, you know, whatever it is, just to relieve that anxiety and that stress. But when I go in to see a client, it's game on. Everything is all good, you know.
I love that, and I think sometimes salespeople can be a little bit guilty of forgetting that they have to be the cheerleader.
Right.
They have to be the cheerleader for their business. They have to be the cheerleader for their customers. So if we come in there and we're just, again, carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders, I think, and especially if you do that consistently and you're doing it often, man, that's going to get associated with you. And just to prove the point, I want you, everybody, to stop for a minute. I want you to think about people in your life that are always negative, And they're always, you know, just like going back to Facebook. I mean, you know, I know people on there. They're posting nothing but videos of people getting their ass kicked.
Right.
Or they're like, you know, like, or posting about, you know, like, you know, Obama screwed up again. It's like, every time I come in contact with you, you were pissed off. You could have won the lotto.
Right.
And you're going to fuck, yes, but they paid me in hundreds. I mean, come on, man. It's like, so, I mean, so those are some great words of advice. And just kind of wrapping things up right now, because, I mean, you know, Richie's been really gracious and he's given us over 50 minutes so far. But I'm really hoping that we've inspired our listeners today to maybe take this whole personal branding thing, social networking and social media thing seriously. Do you have maybe a few resources that our listeners maybe should check out to learn more about this?
Sure. Some people that I follow and read a lot of their stuff, I'm sure – you know, I'm sure everybody here knows the some of the main ones, right? So, you know, Gary Vee, Chris Brogan, Marie Forleo. But some of the lesser-known people, I believe they're lesser-known. I hope I'm not insulting anybody. that I really like, this woman, Ash Ambridge. She's from the Middle Finger – she has a blog called the Middle Finger
That's
Project.
Right.
That's right up your alley, Paul.
And I love it.
Yeah, she has an awesome voice, an awesome brand. She is really funny and shares a lot of cool things. She's an amazing writer and ties that all into, you know, social selling and branding. It's a cool blog. I would definitely check that out. Chris Ducker and Pat Flynn have a new podcast, The One Day Business Breakthrough, which is awesome. It's like a 10 or 15-minute podcast, and they get really specific. It's like a Q&A style podcast, and they give you specific how-tos, what to do, and they talk about online branding, their presence, your presence. And another one, I don't think she's too well-known, and I'm probably going to butcher her last name. It's Amy Schmittauer. She has a YouTube channel, and it's Savvy Sexy Social. If you go on YouTube and check that out, Savvy Sexy Social, she gives you a ton of great info about just about videos, creating videos, marketing, and she's younger than me. She's got a different spin on things because she's that earlier generation. She's really somebody that you can learn a lot from.
And those are very, very helpful. I mean, I was taking notes the whole time, so that's incredible. I appreciate that. Now, I mean, come on, man, fair is fair. Where can every – by now, I'm hoping after 50, like, 5 minutes together that they've bonded with you a little bit, Richie, which makes me a little bit jealous, to be quite truthful. I might, like, edit out all the parts where you sounded really, really cool and just have it just the bad stuff.
Thank
that
you.
Come out the end. I promise you I'd make you look good, right? But anyway, where can we learn more about you?
Okay, well, my blog, themayorofhardware.com. You can check me out there. I've had that blog going for about 4 years now. I did just start a new one, constructingyourbrand.com, which is really all social, and it's trying to give a little more focus on social and less focus on hardware. And then you can find me on Twitter @mayorofhardware or Facebook, The Mayor of Hardware. Google me, whatever, you'll find me, I'll come up. Just Google the Mayor of Hardware, you'll see me.
That's right. It's like, so you don't have to worry about like there being like six mayors of hardware to well, who's the real mayor of hardware, right? And they all look the same. But I mean, just one thing that I meant to say earlier, I mean, many of you might be hearing, you know, Richie talk about hardware or the mayor of hardware, and right away you might be thinking, yeah, that's great, Paul, but nice move, idiot, but we're not in the hardware industry. I mean, way to kind of separate, you know, 99% of your audience. It really doesn't matter if you're involved in hardware or not. I mean, I think one of the things all of us need to be doing is look for people who are getting the results that we want. Richie's certainly getting the results, and I can tell you personally that I learn a lot from Richie. I mean, I remember he told me about that buffer app a while ago, and I'm like, I'm stealing this, and I don't even know if I'm not even going to give him credit. I'm just going to be like, I'm the smart guy here. So, I mean, so don't just look within your industry at results that people are getting. You need to go outside of it, and yes, it's going to be a guy who is, you know, branded himself in the hardware industry. It might be somebody who's in the widget industry. It really doesn't matter. You see a result that somebody's getting, you need to put on that humble student hat. And with that, I really want to thank Richie. Richie, I mean, thank you so much. You were very, very generous with your time. I think I told you that, yeah, I think it's going to be like 25 minutes or something. And here we are. It's like an hour. So I'm going to like owe you a lunch or something like that. Or maybe at least one get out of jail free card during a coaching session. But I really want to thank Richie. I certainly want to hear back from our listeners on this. I want to make this a little more interactive than we've had it in the past. So what I'd like to encourage everyone to do, if you have any thoughts about what Richie has said, if you have anything to add to it, if you have any opinions or any other resources that can help the Sales Playbook community, the first thing that you can do is you can go back to yoursalesplaybook.com/122, because this is episode 122. And you can leave a comment, share your thoughts there. If maybe you just don't want to go public with it and you'd rather interact with me one-on-one, then you can certainly shoot me an email, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. And you know what, Richie, I'm hoping that this is okay, and if it isn't, you know, you can slap me after it or whatever it is. Is there an email address that maybe if somebody wants to maybe send you a private email, maybe they have a question or something that they can get in touch with you?
Oh, absolutely. Richie D., that's RICHIED, @themayorofhardware.com.
I love it. Again, Richie, thank you so much. And thank you all for hanging out with us today. And let me know what you thought of what our topic. Take care, everyone.